listener exclusive.
All right, Matty Ray, good to go?
Let's do it. The Bidgee Bubble.
Well, it certainly is the Bidgee Bubble, the very first one with me, Matt Collins, and my esteemed colleague, Matty Ray. Welcome, Matty.
Hey, how are we going today, Matt?
Doing fantastic. The very first Bidgee Bubble. Lots and lots to talk about. What is the Bidgee Bubble? We'll find out from you very, very shortly. But, mate, I want to mention our colleagues in Wagga. They've done a similar podcast.
Okay.
It's called the 5 o'clock Wave.
Oh,
and
there we go.
If you're from that area, you'll know why. But I bring that up, Matty, because they've got a local muso to put together a song for their 5 o'clock Wave. And I reckon
we
need a song for the Bidgee Bubble.
I agree. Have you got any ideas as to who could do it?
Well, it won't be you and I. We couldn't sing to save ourselves.
Oh, I reckon I can sing half okay, but I'd rather not put it to the test right now. Just some candidates come into my mind straight now. Dookie Thorne, he'd be good.
Dookie's up there.
Yeah. Pat could play a tune.
Jesse RVU.
Jesse
would do it,
great.
No worries. Mate, there's such a wealth of musical talent in the Bidgee.
That's right, and that's some of the things that we are going to be talking about in the Bidgee Bubble. Episode one, as I said today, some other things like plenty of sport. We're going to have our local guy, Matt Butcher, around the traps come onto this in a few episodes to come. Just some things that you're talking about in the streets or a little opinion or what's going on, what's on everybody's mind kind of thing. We'll go out there, myself and Matt, and we'll ask you what exactly it is that you are thinking. Local legends as well. This is one of the more exciting things that I really am looking forward to with the Bidgee Bubble is talking to those famous and very celebrated locals all around the Riverina MIA, of which we had a few for episode one, Matt.
Goodness me, we certainly do. Trevor Hornery. Now, Trevor is about to turn 80. And we don't condone, obviously, being unhealthy, Matty, but
no,
it seems to be working for Trev because in the recent Borellan Masters Games, he picked up a couple of medals to add to the many, many he has in the pool room. And during the breaks, most people, like you and I, might be having a Gatorade or some, refreshing water.
Uh-huh.
Not Trev.
No.
He's into the ciggies and beers at halftime.
He puffs a few of the darts and has a bit of a drink at halftime. Look, I might have a drink at the end of full time. Trev is coming on to 80 and he's, doing some of the old school stuff.
That's for sure. A local legend and a local character.
Yes.
We'll also be chatting with Shay Jenkins, Matty. Now, Shay is the manager at the Griffith Regional Sports Centre.
Yeah.
Off the back of that massive event, the giant Suncorp netball game in Griffith at the Sports Centre, and there's a heap more massive events coming to town. Now, that's great for that venue, but it's also great for this region.
Absolutely.
In terms of lots of people coming to town and lots of people spending big dollars in the Bidgee, which is great to see.
And speaking of, congratulations, well done. I hear you did a great job hosting last Sunday.
Mate, it was a great day, and it was thanks for saying. I was very proud to be a part of it.
And International Women's Day this Friday, Matt, and you also have caught up with a special guest, and we'll hear that chat very soon. Who is that?
Yeah, that's Alex Blackwell, Matty. So she is the former Australian cricket captain, and she's coming, as you said, coming to our patch for International Women's Day for an event on Friday. So get along to that, but make sure you listen because, she is a superstar in her own right, Alex Blackwell.
Well, we're going to get into all of those shortly, Matt, but if I can indulge just a minute or two on something I want to bring up.
Please.
Okay. When we travel to, say, the Big Smoke, more specifically Melbourne, I mean, I always like to travel to Melbourne more than Sydney from here because it's just it's a shorter drive. I mean, other than driving, what do you think is the best way in terms of cost and just maybe enjoyment of getting to Melbourne from Griffith or from anywhere in the Riverina MIA?
Well, I guess you could fly. You've got the Griffith Airport. You've got a Narendra Airport as well.
True.
Or the train, perhaps?
Yes. You always, if you fly, though, you always got to go via Sydney, I think, from Griffith. Unless you're maybe closer to Leeton or Narendra, then you can drive down to Wagga and take the flight direct to Melbourne there. You know, I was looking at this because I had a bit of a last-minute trip to make to Perth. I am from WA originally. I wasn't just going to Perth to see family, although that was part of the attraction. Mm. I was actually going to go to the wrestling, WWE.
You're a big wrestling fan.
Elimination Chamber. Oh, big-ish, I'll say. I was there live at Optus Stadium, and I went down to Melbourne, flew all the way from Melbourne to Perth just to be there because I felt it's like, well, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. So I had to obviously leave the Riverina MIA so I could fly to Perth. I picked the flight from Melbourne. Unfortunately, my car's got a few dramas right now. I didn't want a chance driving it 5 hours to Melbourne in case I got stuck. So what I ended up doing was hiring a car. That sounds a bit extreme, but let me tell you, it is cheaper than flying. Because you end up flying from Sydney to Melbourne and those flights on a Friday or a Saturday cost you thousands. Look, and you said train. There is the XPT that goes from Sydney and it goes through Wagga to Melbourne and you can take a coach from Griffith to Wagga to get to Melbourne. And that is actually a relatively cheap way of doing it. The problem is that I felt like I needed to be in Melbourne at a specific time and I couldn't get there.
To get your flight.
To get my flight and I couldn't get there via the public transport that I needed. So my point is that while that is all cheap and I actually did take the public transport back because I wasn't going to hold on to the car for that long. Look, I quite enjoy that public transport, but the XPT train, it's a bit old. It still does the job. But this is the one thing that bothered me. People who perhaps can't really smell their own body odour.
Let me be careful how you word this one.
I know. I don't know if I've even worded that enough sensitively or if I should just rip the Band-Aid off and say, stinky people. Stinky people.
They're on the public transport, aren't they?
If you cannot afford a can of deodorant, you can't afford to go from Sydney to Griffith or Melbourne to Griffith on public transport. Come on now.
That should be one of the signs on the wall.
Yeah,
can't afford deodorant, you can't afford a train ticket.
Unclean people will not be allowed to ride or whatever.
Do you feel better now, Matty?
I don't know. I feel like maybe there'll be trouble after.
Time will tell. Let's leave that right there and get into our first guest today. It is Shay Jenkins, the manager of the Griffith Regional Sports Centre. Now, I want to talk about lots of the events that are coming up, but first, a pat on the back to you and all involved in the weekend just gone, the Suncorp netball game. Mate, what an event.
It was a ripper. Yeah, thank you. I played my small part, but a team effort to pull that one together. It was a 12-month project. All in all, really successful.
900 or so people there. The live stream that was put on went out to tens of thousands of people right across the country and beyond. You said it's a 12-month process, but sort of leading up to the day, as the manager of the centre, what are your sort of biggest responsibilities?
Oh, look, we're looking to provide, a space that's safe and fun and a place that people want to have a good day at and come back to again. The Griffith Netball Association partnered up with Griffith City Council to bring the event to town. So the association pulled a lot of strings in terms of the logistics on the day, but our primary responsibility was making sure that it was safe and fun and set up and ready to put on the show that it was.
Well, mate, it certainly was a whole heap of fun. My favourite F word, as I said, well done to everyone involved. And we want to talk about these big events that are coming up because there's plenty of them. But, Shay, tell us a bit more about you because do you still play for the Swans in the local RFL?
I don't, no.
You're too old now, Shay.
Too old, well past it.
But you did for a long time, but it's an interesting journey as to how you got to Griffith. Started in Victoria, hey?
Yeah, grew up in Victoria, country Victoria. Played most of the football back there. Had an opportunity to head up to Darwin to play footy up there in the NTFL. Which was back in 2010, and that led to coming down to Griffith just for a season, 2011.
Now there's ties to the NT and to Griffith. Tell us how that works.
So the Griffith Swans have had a history of, recruiting players from the NT, and specifically the Waratah Footy Club. So we were lucky enough to play for the Waratahs, and connections back to Griffith led us to the Riverina.
Now, at that point, I'm guessing that's an invitation type process, that, who wants to go. What did you know about Griffith before you got here?
Not much, to be honest.
Were you a single man at the time?
Single man at the time, potentially at loose ends back in Victoria and saw the opportunity to go to Darwin. which turned out to be a really good opportunity, a lot of fun. And then a couple of friends that I played footy with in Darwin, made the trek down here just for the season. And
so you sort of followed them, I suppose.
Well, yeah, we did. We came down together, and like I said, they were Victorian guys. We're planning to be here just for the footy season, and then probably head home again.
Back to Victoria. Did you have work lined up when you moved to Griffith?
We did, yeah. We were lucky enough to get set up with some accommodation and some work, and which gave us a good grounding. But two of us are still here, and one ended up going back at the end of the season as planned. So, but couldn't be happier.
And you enjoyed your time at the Swans, I'm assuming?
Absolutely, yeah. Great club. Had a lot of fun, and still got a lot of mates that that I met at the club and local fellas. So,
you still have any ties to the Swans now, or do you go down and watch the games?
Not as much as I used to. Helped out with the coaching for a few years after the boots were hung up, but the priorities have changed a little bit with family.
And three young kids, Shay. You've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, three kids under three at the minute. So, plenty of time going into that, which is really enjoyable and a real challenge.
That's for sure. Now, speaking of challenge, you've got a heap coming up with some big events over there at the Griffith Regional Sports Centre. That's really what we wanted to get you in for today. Tell us about some of the big events that are A, coming to town, but B, some of these ones that are sort of locked in ongoing for the future.
So I guess Griffith Regional Sports Centre is brand new, pretty much. We're only 16 months old. We're a facility that doesn't have too many rivals across the state. So we're in a really fortunate position where we can start to look to attract these bigger events that traditionally, I guess, Griffith folk have travelled out of town to attend. Regional events, state events, even local sporting events. So some really big ones in the pipeline. And most importantly, I guess the big ones that we've already done, we're looking to put on a good show and get them back.
That's for sure. We saw that with the Giants netball, the preseason to the Suncorp netball series. I mean, it is massive. Some huge numbers. And I was hosting on the day, very proud to do that. But I interviewed one of the players, and they said this facility right here, this venue, rivals anything in Sydney or any of the big city areas. I mean, it's a testament to our patch.
It is. It's credit to those that made it happen. So it's it does rival the big city smoke venues. And like I said, the Griffith City Council, the associations that have, I guess, contributed to the success of, or the building of it. We're in a position now that we need to take that on and capitalise, I guess.
Make use with some big events. So what is coming up, Shay?
We've got some really big basketball, netball, athletics events. We've got some dance concerts. We've got lots of school activities, so some PWSA and high school regional carnivals. Some really big events that, like I said, Griffith families and kids have traditionally travelled away for to other regions. But, now we can bring other regions to our region, showcase what we've got give everyone a really good experience.
And that's what it's all about, right? We get the mayor on, Doug Curran, each and every week, and he talks about it's all good and well to have these events on, because the flow on of that is they spend money on food, they stay here in the accommodation, they go to the touristy things to do, all right here in town.
That's right. Yep. The latest data suggests that $360 per person per night is injected back into the local economy for spectators or participants of sport. So if we're talking about events with, 3,000 people coming along to them, it equates to, almost $1 million a night.
That is remarkable, that's for sure. Mate, as we wrap it up, there is a big event next year. Now, this is hot off the press. This is breaking news, and that is the big athletics carnival coming to the sports centre.
Yep, very exciting. Is hot off the press. March 1 and 2 in 2025. Little Athletics New South Wales State Combined Carnival will be hosted here in Griffith. So that involves 180 Little Athletics clubs, 650 athletes, and a couple of thousand family members travelling along with them.
And those couple of thousand family members, as you say, times that by $360 a head, That's a lot of money injected into our region.
It is a lot. It's exciting. It's great for the restaurants and the accommodation venues. It means that people are coming to Griffith that probably wouldn't normally have come, and getting a really good experience in the town, but also being able to have fun at a first-class venue.
That is for sure. Well done once again on the weekend, but mate, all the very best. We know you'll do a fantastic job with these big events for the rest of 2024 and like the big athletics tournament in March next year, you said?
Yep.
Mate, all the very best with it. We know you'll do a great job. Shay Jenkins, great to chat to you. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Thanks, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
Good chat, Matt. Shay Jenkins from the Griffith Regional Sports Centre. And it was interesting finding out about that 360.
I didn't realise it's that much money. But if you think for every event that brings 1,000 people to town, $360 for each one of those every single night. So over two or three nights, Matty, we're talking $1 million per event. And, with some of these bigger events like that athletics that he's talking about, I mean, it's going to mean big, big dollars for our region, which is great to see. Now, speaking of some superstars, Trevor Hornery. Now, you and I chatted to Trev together.
Yes.
And, you and I together are not even the age of Trevor Hornery. And
no.
We say that respectfully, of course.
Mm.
And this chat, Matty, does come with a health warning as well.
Yes. We do not endorse the use of tobacco products in the slightest. We want to get that out the way straight away. That being said, Trevor is a man coming on to 80 and let's just say he is a bit partial to a few puffs, not after the event, but before and during it too.
He is one rare, unique individual, and here he is, Darlington Point's Trevor Hornery. Mate, you are 3 weeks away from 80.
True.
Mate, you look about 50, can I say?
He doesn't look a day over 21. What are you talking about?
It's doing good. Now, mate, you're involved in the recent Burrell and Masters Games. I'm not going to steal your thunder, Trev. Tell us a bit more. You've won, how many medals have you won over the years?
It started in 2010, the Masters. I've missed probably three or four. Then I've won 14 medals out there, gold, silver, bronze.
14 medals, gold, silver, and bronze in what sports, Trev?
Mainly tennis and bowls.
Yep.
One year we played bowls, but it was only two or three of us flying. And golf, I mean.
Golf. Well. You don't let the truth get in the way,
but. Where do the medals live now, Trevor?
Hanging in my bedroom.
bedroom. So you wake up with them all the time. Reminders of your success.
He goes out and puts them all on at once and goes into town. Now, interestingly, we got to find out about you, Trevor, because a lot of people in the breaks of, bowls or tennis in the set breaks, they might have some Powerade. Matty plays a bit of squash. He might have some water or Lucozade or something like that. But, Trev, you don't. Your rest times are something quite different. What do you do in the breaks?
Might have a smoke and a couple of beers.
That's someone really old school right there.
Don't drink much water.
Has that always been the case? I mean, you're about to hit 80, and yeah. I just find it's absolutely remarkable. A couple of beers and a couple of ciggies in the breaks. Have you always done that?
Yep. Yeah, I gave cigarettes away when I moved to the Point. 13 years ago.
Was there a health reason why you did that?
Nah, my wife gave it up before I left Ewardry. That's where I retired from.
Right, yep.
Carruth Hill. When we moved, I gave it up. I started playing bowls out at the Point and gradually got back on them.
When did that happen? Was there a catalyst for you to... Because I've got friends that have quit smokes for however long, but then something stressful happens in their life, Trevor, and they start again. Was there something stressful for you?
No, not really, no. No, I just... No, it sort of settles me when I'm playing bowls and that. No, get a bit nervous, I suppose. And...
Has anyone come up to you and said, Trev, you really shouldn't be smoking?
Not really, no.
No?
Not even the doctor?
No, I haven't.
What's the doc say about you smoking?
Have you seen the doctor at all recently?
Yeah, I have a blood test every now and then. I've been very lucky health-wise. No need to take any tablets or anything.
Any thoughts to quit? You go, oh, I probably should give the old cancer sticks away.
Yeah. Not really, no. I'm quite happy.
you got your 80th coming up a couple of weeks. Got a big do happening? What's
yeah,
happening?
Yeah, I got a few coming to the Point Club. Probably, oh, I don't know, 80, 90 people. So.
Fantastic.
Tell me about the opponents that you're playing now or you're having a hit of tennis against, Trev.
The ones out at Burrellan a couple of weekends ago was school teacher from here, Lachlan Date, I think.
Okay, and like how old would he be?
33.
Yeah, he's in his 30s because we had him on the Triple M Brekkie show. He was the master blaster, wasn't he?
That's right.
With the most medals and all of that.
Yeah. You beat him, I take it, Trev?
No.
You didn't. But you beat a few of the young'uns, don't you?
I played my eldest son in the doubles, that's all, and... we had two wins and Lachlan and Brendan, some bloke.
Yeah.
From Wollongong, I think. He came originally, he's here working.
Did you play with your boy, did you?
Yeah.
Was he and your doubles partner?
Yeah.
Does he smoke at halftime?
No. He has a beer.
That's the bad influence.
Yeah. Maybe a beer at halftime. But let me just say, you know, and it's proven here by Trevor, like age is no limit to, you know, wonders in sport. And but it should go the other way as well. Just because, you know, you're young doesn't mean you can't be mediocre as well. I mean, I'm still south of 30 and I have been beaten at squash by someone in their 80s.
Mm. That's right. I reckon Trevor give you a run for your money too.
I reckon he would too.
Any plans to slow down? Like, are we going to be having this chat when you're 90, Trev?
Oh, it'd be nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't it? What's the most proudest thing? You must have a whole heap of trophies and medals and all of that on in the pool room at home, Trev. What's the most proudest bit of sporting memorabilia you have, or sporting award?
That just what I told you, winning that Australasian one. But I got my name up on the championship board at Griffith. 36 times.
Goodness
singles,
me.
Doubles.
They must be sick of your name, Dan.
I won a couple men's singles before I left Parks, club championships. I won a mixed over there. I played my mum and won a mixed doubles championships.
Excellent. You played with your mum?
Yep.
As a mixed doubles?
Yep. We won the club championships.
She a bit of a tennis gun as well?
She was, yeah. She was just over 50 when we... won the mixed in Parks.
Don't tell me she was a smoker, Trev.
No.
What did she have to say about your habits at halftime?
No, nothing.
Oh, very good. Sure.
My dad smoked and my brother smoked. I played against quite a few Australian players.
Oh, yeah? What most well-known tennis player you played against?
Oh, Tony Roach.
Tony Roach. And John Newcomb too. Did you not play against him?
Not against him. I coached with him and Roach
at right.
Geelong Grammar for a week.
With Nuke?
Yeah. We socialised pretty well with him.
that's a story for another time.
Of course you did.
Trevor Horner, mate, it is great to have you in the studio. It really is. We love your journey. And, mate, thanks for giving us some time today.
Thank you.
Great chat with Trevor, eh, Matt?
What a unique character. And as we said in the get-go, we do not encourage or endorse in any way cigarette smoking.
There's plenty still happening, of course, over this weekend and in the Bidgee Bubble later on. We're going to take a look at some of those events, give you a little guide. And International Women's Day, let's not forget, this Friday, Matt, including the Soroptimist International Women's Day breakfast. That's happening in Griffith. It'll be at the Kidman Wayside Inn. And Matt... you caught up with the special guest.
Yeah, I did. It's Alex Blackwell. Now, she's the former Australian cricket captain, an absolute superstar, and she will be the guest speaker at that International Women's Day breakfast Friday morning at 7 a.m. You can get your tickets at trybooking.com or they're available at Griffith Camera House. And here she is now, former Aussie cricket captain Alex Blackwell. We'll get to the cricket stuff. Alex, we'll get to that. But your favourite memories of the MIA?
Oh, swimming in the channels. I know you're not supposed to, but cooling off after maybe a whole day on the field at cricket. growing up in Yenda and Griffith and playing in the MIA, you get pretty tough, don't you, with the heat?
you
got to find ways to cool off. So growing up as a twin, my identical twin sister Kate and I, we had so much fun growing up on the farm in Yenda and getting up to all sorts of mischief.
You mentioned Kate there, another Aussie cricket star. I'm guessing there were some pretty competitive backyard cricket games at your place in Yenda.
Yeah, it certainly was. We used to play the old French cricket. I don't know why it's called French cricket, but you sort of, when we were tiny and you couldn't really hold the bat properly, but you have to, you hold it vertically and protect your legs from getting hit with the ball. But yeah, look, cricket, soccer, whatever, you know, sport, we got into it. And that's probably one of my favourite memories of growing up in the Riverina and MIA is how much sport we played. And, can't thank, you know, all the locals and the volunteers that make sport happen out there. It was obviously a huge part in my whole journey to then go on to play cricket for Australia. And to do that alongside Kate, you know, was hugely special.
Was that always going to be the case? I mean, did you two dream about playing for your country early on?
We didn't know women played cricket for Australia until our local school team, actually, at GEPS, started a team for the first time back in 1995. And our girls' team beat the boys' team at school, and we also went on and won the state knockout. And once we did that, we received individually signed posters from Belinda Clark, who I didn't know. I didn't know anything about Belinda, but she's one of our greatest ever captains and a legend of our game. And when I got that poster, that's when I knew women played cricket for their country. And I guess it planted a bit of a seed. And Kate and I went on to become a member of Belinda's Australian women's cricket team in 2004, when we toured together to India representing our country under her leadership. So it was a pretty amazing story.
It certainly is. Did you tell her about that poster on your wall?
Yeah, I mention it every time I can, and she gets a bit embarrassed.
I'm sure she loves that.
She ended up coming to our 21st birthday party out at Yenda on the farm, and I said, Belinda, come and have a look at this. And I showed her where the poster still hung on my bedroom wall.
It was still there.
Yeah, well, not now, but yes, I have it in a special place now.
Oh, yeah. How lovely. The Bidgee Bubble. Alex Blackwell, former Aussie cricket captain, Maddie, and she will be with us in the region on Friday morning, International Women's Day. And that's not all that's happening this weekend. We've got a couple of events to share. Are we starting with you?
Have you planned your call to your mum on Friday?
International Women's Day?
Yeah.
I call my mum all the time, so I hope she's not listening.
And that's the weird thing is that even when Mother's Day or a birthday comes up, I'm like, Mum, what do you want me to get you? And I'm asking this 2.5 weeks in advance. And she's like, oh, just a phone call's good. Just a phone call's good. Like, that does nothing for me. I call you on the phone.
Doesn't cost you anything.
Almost every weekend. was it Uldaya?
Aldea.
This is happening at the Griffith Regional Theatre on Saturday, Matt, and it'll be from 7:30. Aldea is so fresh and uninhibited, it almost bursts off the stage. Now, that's not me, that's the Sydney Morning Herald.
And all the accolades it's getting, it deserves. I mean, from all reports, this is a hell of a show.
Yes, that's right. It awakens the earth and sky world to tell the story of the Anangu people of the Great Victorian Desert. Just a little note for anyone of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent who may be hearing this now, audiences should be aware that the production does contain voices of deceased persons, strobe haze, smoke effects with elevated sound levels. What really appeals me to this, Matt, is I was really blown away, and you were there too, when we went to Griffith Regional Aquatic and Leisure Centre on Survival Day on the 26th. Dance groups there, including one of our own local ones, were unreal, like incredibly choreographed and just sensational.
It is great to see, and a great cultural experience, that's for sure. Get your tickets at the Griffith Regional Theatre, Matty. I think that's the best way to go.
Down to the box office, be quick. I reckon that one might sell quickly or go onto their website.
That's the way to go. This one is a couple of weeks out, but it is worth mentioning. It's the Griffith Easter Party, of course, from the 28th to the 31st of March, run by the very hard-working team at Visit Griffith and through council, of course. Maddie, it's quicker to talk about what's not happening at the Easter party. So many events. There's Easter raffles. There's the blood, sweat and beers. I'm sure Trevor will be at that one.
I will be too.
You'll be down there.
Yes, I'll be hosting that actually.
Oh, fantastic. Well, there you go. An extra reason to head on down. The Banner Avenue Sidewalk Sale, the Vintage Festival. There's a fun run in there. Matty, you're right. Getting involved in the fun run.
Is that the Bacchus on the Lake?
Bacchus on the Lake,
yes.
Exactly. That's on the Good Friday.
Great event as part of the Griffith Easter Party.
That's for sure. At the picnic area at Lake Wyangan. Lots and lots of events there. You can get more information at the website, visitgriffith.com.au. This has been the Bidgee Bubble. My name is Matt Collins and, of course, my esteemed colleague, Matty Ray. The first Bidgee Bubble wrapped up, mate. I think we've covered everything we needed to.
I'm already looking forward to next week.
So
it's going to be even bigger.
Let's not pop the bubble.
Well, it did at the start.
Have a great week.
See ya.
A listener exclusive.